And good afternoon. Welcome into Market Talk for Thursday, January 21st, 2021. And good afternoon to you. Thank you for joining us. I'm your host, Jesse Allen. It's great to have you here back with us once again. MarketTalkAg.com is our home on the web, MarketTalkAg.com. You can also find us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, all at MarketTalkAg. And got to give a shout out as well to the folks over at FeedSpot.com. Added Market Talk to their top 40 list of agriculture podcasts you need to listen to and download in 2021. We came in at number 22 on the list, so I'm pretty proud of that for us being just about a little over 50 episodes in. It's good stuff. Let's talk about these markets today, though. Enough babbling on for me. Let's look at what happened in this grain market today. Let's bring in our guest, our good friend John Heinberg with Total Farm Marketing by Stuart Peterson is on with us. And John, good afternoon. I'll just throw it out there to you to start this thing. What happened? We had a good thing going, starting the trade and overnight, and then we just kind of fell apart.
Yeah, we've lost a little bit of momentum, especially in that soybean market here this week. It's a little concerning, obviously, but you know, we've rallied so aggressively. Realistically, you go back to when soybeans put their low in, that was back in April. We're well over $6 higher since that time frame. Corn, we're obviously $2 plus higher since the August lows. So we're at a spot here where we're starting to look at South American weather. We're starting to kind of look at the calendar. Typically, we see a little bit of trend weakness in this time frame, and that might be what's coming into play. As we're seeing a little bit of peel back in terms of some of the long positions that the market has. You know, today was probably the more disappointing of the days. I mean, I can handle the hard washouts because you know they're coming technically, and really when you get a market that rallied as much as it has, to fall back that quickly is not surprising. But just today to see the strength kind of melt away as the day went on was a little bit disappointing. But we do have options expiration tomorrow for February options. I know that's not one of the main contract months, but with the market as elevated as it is, there's a lot of them in play as people kind of dove into the market quick to find something quick. So that might keep us choppy and pressure going into tomorrow. And then I really want to see where we wind up back on as Monday starts to trade out again.
Well, and you mentioned, you know, a lot of funds in this market, a lot of longs, and we have seen quite a bit of those longs get out of the market this week. And it seemed like that was kind of the start of our technical correction back, you know, here earlier this week. And, you know, I think that's a key point that we've talked about this, and a lot of folks mentioned this, that we've probably been waiting on this technical correction for a little while now. And it's probably a healthy thing for this market. We just, as a producer, as a trader, you don't want to see the market turn back lower after such a nice run.
It really is. And, you know, you consider how fast we've moved to these levels, especially in the soybean market. We really haven't had much of a pullback at all. So getting some type of pullback, even, you know, and then again, with the market is elevated, 80 cents seems like a lot, but really isn't. You know, they could take a little bit of air out of the market, firm it up a little bit this stage. And we'll, like I said, you mentioned the fund positioning, and with the estimates today, the beans are actually back to where they were at the end of August. So that's got a chance for them to push some more back into this market, maybe for another leg higher if the weather in South America persists or we continue to see strong demand. You know, that's the biggest thing I want to stay focused on here is the demand side of the equation. Obviously, we got a market in beans, especially, that's talking about rationing supplies. You know, corn's concerned about where we are in terms of total pipeline as well down the road. And here we get this pullback, and we sold 11 million bushels of old crop beans and 13 million bushels of old crop corn this morning. So, like, we got that lying around. So that's some of the thing that we need to keep an eye on going forward. If the demand continues to heat up here, that's going to make this market really want to say, hey, we need to cut those bean supplies especially back. So I'm really looking forward to tomorrow's export sales numbers, and let's see where we were. We had quite a few sales last week that should be on that report. So let's see what's out there beyond those and see how that market reacts if those bean numbers come in heavy again.
Yeah, and I saw on the Daily Wire we had some good numbers in today as well, specifically soybeans and a good sale in corn as well. And I'll be curious to see what those export numbers look like tomorrow as well, John. And overall, you know, you mentioned South America. We're kind of watching the weather there. Argentina's still kind of dry, but I know Buenos Aires Grain Exchange came out late this afternoon, said 8% of the corn crop rated poor or very poor, an improvement from 16% last week. So it's sounding like maybe there some of those rains they've caught are helping out a little bit. It's not going to help out a lot, but it's helping out a little bit. Maybe that's an influence we're watching as well. What would you say?
Yeah, that was probably kind of the trigger on Monday, on Tuesday's trade after the three-day weekend. We saw some pretty good rainfall across the pretty much South America in general. Mm-hmm. Brazil, like I've said before, is actually in pretty good shape. I mean, maybe some of the true bloom is off the rose there in terms of top of the line yields, but they're going to have still a solid crop, which the market actually still needs. So Argentina's been still the question mark. Now, you know, with that, we did see some reductions by some private analysts again today for both corn and beans. So that kind of keeps this market watching very closely. The rainfalls they got last week were beneficial, but again, you know, looking at some of the longer term projections, maybe the forecast will stay a bit on the questionable side. So we'll still have to see how that shakes out. But, you know, watching that weather is going to be a key, and maybe that's some of what's happening here too, as we're moving a little bit off of a weather market, and now we need to shift ourselves back to a demand-driven market, which really started this rally in the first place back in August.
You know, I feel some questions for producers this week once we started to see a little bit of a technical correction. And, you know, some guys told me, they were like, well, I'm still going to hang on to the little bit of beans I have left or some of this corn, because they're just like, well, I still think the market can go higher. And we've talked about this numerous times that, you know, you start trading with that mentality of you don't really have a floor, you don't set where you're going to trade at. We've seen it time and time again that this market can get out from underneath you, and next thing you know, you're selling, you know, $3 corn again versus $5 corn, which I'm not saying that's going to happen. But what would you say to some traders or some growers out there who are hanging on and maybe not following their marketing plan like they should?
Well, you know, the biggest thing, if you're going to keep some upside potential in, and realistically in beans, most of the people are down to their wild card stocks at this stage. And, you know, if you truly think the supply side of the picture is as tight as it is, which everything is indicating it is, you know, it probably doesn't hurt to go ahead and hold those supplies into the summer and get a good look at summer weather. You got to watch the next basically 3-4 months here. We've got acre battle coming. We'll have South American harvest coming. The biggest thing we'll be watching is what happens on the export front. You know, weekly sales should start diminishing as they shift their purchasing focus to the South American supplies, as well as even the shipping numbers for beans will start declining, and that's going to be a big key. You know, do we see any cancellations, things of that nature? Don't be shocked this market finds, you know, maybe makes one more move and we peak out, and then we roll back for a pretty good correction going into the spring. So if you're going to hold on to those supplies, just keep some safety valve puts underneath this market just to make sure you keep that floor in, because you can still lock at a pretty profitable level all the way out to July. It's going to be pretty far out of the money, but at the same time, at least you got something in case we run into a black swan event.
Let's talk wheat. It's a little bit of a surprise out there. KC wheat, we sold 5.1 million bushels to Nigeria for the 21-22 crop, but that didn't really seem to affect that wheat market today. To me, it felt like the wheat market kind of pulled corn and beans lower, but maybe you saw some other things there why we saw the wheat market down the most today.
Yeah, I would agree with that. You know, corn was trying to have some pretty good gains in to start the session, and then you saw wheat kind of bleed out as the day went on, and I think that did pull corn down, and as well as the soybean market. You know, again, we've had a pretty good run in the wheat charts, and if you look at it, we're still in a very strong uptrend. We're just checking back to the bottom of the range, so we'll have to continue to watch out, see how things progress there. A lot of it's driven by the global wheat prices, and we saw some correction on the European, feed, the milling wheat charts today, and then we're also watching what's happening in terms of Russia and Ukraine with the taxes and things they want to put on the export front. You know, right now it still feels like wheat wants to work higher. You know, last couple of times we've gotten down to the bottom of the range, we've snapped it around pretty quickly. We do need to see some exports. That's going to be a big key here in terms of what we see tomorrow morning on the export sales numbers. So it was really nice to see that sale of wheat this morning. You know, there is still going to be a lot of global competition out there for grains. You know, one thing that's really has happened here is China's come into the market and they've bought in grains aggressively, regardless of species. And now some of the other countries that are typically end users are looking for, you know, obviously smaller portions are kind of left on the sidelines. And now they need to get active to make sure they're covering their supplies. So even as China may be starting to drift out of the U.S. market, we may see more outliers like a Nigeria purchase or, you know, an Israel purchase for soybeans like we saw the day before come into play.
Let's switch over to livestock here, John. I want to talk cattle first. And, you know, looking at this live cattle market, it's got a firmer tone. We've been starting to see that shift here this week through the middle of the week, especially with live and feeder cattle with the lower corn market trade. Looking at some, you know, good strength of the product market. I know beef cutouts, again, were aggressively higher today. Got a good advance in that box beef market. But feedlot country's quiet. We finally got another sale in the – or we got a sale in the north today. But overall, looking at this cattle market, what are you seeing? Because I'm getting the sense and getting the feeling that this cattle market has got a lot of potential here, and it might be that time where we start to see it happen.
You know, I'm in agreement with you. You've been watching this cattle market, just especially in the deferred contracts, just kind of continue to build a base and continue to see some money flow, you know, seeing some push through some old highs into new higher ranges on a daily basis. You know, it was actually encouraging today. We saw April cattle get through the 120 barrier. Yeah, we didn't finish over there, but we did put our highest close in since basically, I believe, back to last March, you know, at 119.95 today. So, you know, we're pricing in the cattle on feed report a little bit, maybe here in this window. We do have that coming out tomorrow. We're expecting to see the cow numbers or the cattle on feed numbers to be 99.5% or a little bit lower than last year. So we're starting to get this picture that maybe we're going to see some tighter cattle supplies overall. Then we got a placement number that should be 97% of last year is what the expectations are. So that'd be maybe a little bit reflective of the higher feed costs. But, you know, you still got a feeder market that's been moving strongly higher as well here recently. And some of that's tied to those third and fourth quarter live cattle contracts. When you're talking 120 plus from October into 2022, you know, we can get $1.40, $1.45 feeders and make it work as long as we manage the input side. So realistically, this is one of those cases where the higher grain prices continue to build some strength into the cattle market on the longer range, just to encourage supplies. And then we take a look at that cattle on feed number tomorrow. Let's see what we're trending. The trend right now is the cattle numbers are getting lower, and that should keep this market pretty well supported. The only thing I'm still watching, still is a concern, is the cash market, like you were talking. 110 this week seems to catch most of the cattle this week. We're still processing a high amount of cattle. Same, you know, steady pace with last week, but we are about 2,000-3,000 head on a daily basis, less than last year. So we're starting to see that supply side tighten up. But with the heavier weights that we're still putting out there, production's heavy, and that's just keeping that February contract in check. So the market's pricing in some optimism as we maybe get through February here with this cattle on feed report. And then the last thing, we talk about money flow. Open interest has been growing in the livestock sector in general. And realistically, you look at the ag space, the livestock sector has been kind of left behind here because of the COVID issues and COVID concerns. Now, maybe the money's starting to realize that, you know, hey, cattle's cheap here, hogs are cheap here, and it might be the next place we see the money start flowing.
Well, we got to think about this too. I mean, you know, if we can work through the pandemic and maybe see the light at the end of the tunnel and get some of that demand back, I mean, it seems like the trade, like you mentioned, kind of pricing in here, kind of expecting, you know, that this market could turn around and keep pushing higher and kind of break out of a range. So it'll be interesting to see what happens the next few months. And I would say the same maybe for hogs. We've seen some decent strength in hogs as well. We still stayed above that $68 mark today on that February contract, but looking out some of those deferred months, hogs are doing all right this week as well. It seems like they picked up a little bit of momentum anyway.
Yeah, they have. You know, we got a couple different news stories this week about China over the weekend. We saw that their hog herd or hog numbers were about 3% mm-hmm. below last year as they're recovering from African swine fever. You believe it or not, that's your choice. But, you know, hog prices and pork prices are still at record highs and extremely strong in China. So that's going to keep them active in the demand market or the export market. So we'll see what those numbers come out tomorrow with the export sales report. The Chinese lunar holiday is right around the corner here, the first part of February. And that is, you know, their big holiday for pork consumption. So we'll see if they get back in. They kind of disappeared on us here last week and it kind of shook the market a little bit. Second thing, we got a headline that they did find a breakout of African swine fever in one of their provinces. Again, very, very small, isolated incident. First time, though, we've heard something like that in months. And so, obviously, is that that'll be something we need to watch if it's just a very isolated incident, get under control, or is it, again, another situation where we could see some damage to that swine herd? You know, so with that, you know, market's probably building some optimism in. I love the summer contracts and the strength that we're seeing out there. You know, we got June, July hogs, August hogs all over $85. Looks like we're trekking our way towards the 90 level. You know, so there's starting to be some really good value for producers. Again, like in cattle, that's also reflective of the higher feed costs, as we're going to motivate people to make sure we got some hogs moving back there, so we can see those hog futures prices continue to climb even into those higher grain costs. So anyway, a little bit of optimism in that market. Like cattle, we just kind of got to get through these front months here and the heavy supplies, and then I think we can see this market maybe even step out as long as the demand stays strong.
Well, and I think for our cattle and hog producers, they're kind of just waiting on that here. And like you mentioned, maybe we'll see some money flow move into these markets here. And I think our cattle and hog producers would be happy to see a little bit more money flow move in here, John.
Yeah, and you mentioned too, you know, this has been the market, the livestock market, that's been dealing with the COVID restrictions. And those are what I would classify as, you know, justified concerns. You know, you go look at December restaurant trade or food service trade, we're down 22% year over year at the end of, for the month of December. You know, that's still a lot of retail business. And, you know, again, that's some of the optimism I have for these two livestock markets as we move towards the second, third, fourth quarters, you know, as we start getting some vaccination work in, we get warmer weather, things are already, you know, some talk of getting more things open. That's going to bring that food service demand back, maybe still not to where it needs to be, but it'll definitely improve that demand picture overall. And with the potential for tighter supplies, you know, it could be some pretty interesting price moves as we move into the summer months.
John, dairy market update real quick. Anything you're seeing in milk or butter cheese prices? Any storylines we got to watch there?
Well, that one's been very disappointing. I mean, we had a spike out in prices on that February, March contracts when we got the last round of COVID aid put together with $1.5 billion supposedly going into the Farmers and Family Food Box program. But since then, we haven't had anything in terms of confirmation of purchases or, you know, looking to get into the market. So the cheese market built itself up some strong inventory waiting for the government to step in, and they haven't. And I still have yet to find any dates or any information that's saying, hey, the U.S. government's going to start purchasing now. And obviously, with the change in presidency, you know, with President Biden now being in, what happens to those policies? So with that, we've seen a pretty strong push in cheese prices to the downside due to oversupply, and that is really weighing heavy on those front month contracts. In fact, we touched expanded limits lower yesterday, down another 70 cents in February milk today. So it's been a rough week there as we're kind of waiting for the government to step in and possibly start picking up this product and get that to the food, you know, into those food programs to help out with the COVID aid.
Well, and you mentioned President Biden now sworn in, and obviously with a change in an administration and financial markets and everything else, it seems like so far a lot of positivity surrounding the new administration and also kind of that, you know, we always see it kind of go hand in hand, I feel like, with what's going on in D.C. plays into those, you know, the money markets, the dollar, crude oil, the energies, all that stuff. And it seems like so far it's been kind of a peaceful transition. Really haven't seen a lot happening in some of those outside markets.
Yeah, keep an eye on that dollar index. That's still going to be the barometer, the thing that's going to keep us in focused in the commodity sector going into 2021 here. You know, today we're pushing, you know, lower on the dollar, kind of reversed off this most recent little correction to the upside. Obviously, we got a lot of talk about stimulus, money flow, things of that nature possibly coming into the economy over the next 100 days and to start President Biden's tenure. So we'll have to see how that plays out. You know, you go look at the situation we are fundamentally right now, especially in the grain side of the equation. We're at 2013-14 numbers in terms of supply, but the dollar's still at 2018 levels. If we get that break and go down to 13-14 levels, which is our next downside target, if we can't hold this area of support, you will probably see a corresponding result in terms of the price of grains and maybe get back up into those 13-14 price patterns.
Well, John, if producers want to reach out to you and get a little advice, I know it's just as simple as finding you at Total Farm Marketing's website, isn't it?
Yeah, you can check out our website at totalfarmmarketing.com, or feel free to reach out to me personally with a phone call, 800-334-9779, or shoot me an email at johnh@totalfarmmarketing.com.
John, always appreciate the time and the insight, and we'll look forward to catching up with you next Thursday. Thanks so much, and have a good afternoon.
Thanks, Jesse. Have a great afternoon, everybody, and see you all next week.
John Heinberg with Total Farm Marketing by Stuart Peterson, our guest today here on Market Talk. Find us online, markettalkag.com. This has been the Thursday, January 21st edition of Market Talk. I'm your host, Jesse Allen. Have a great afternoon.